Happy Sabbath. You know, when the song is very, very, really touch my heart, and I hope it touches every one of our heart. In the end time, the only thing that is going to bring everything to the close is the glory of Christ shining among his people. The world is going to see the glory of Christ manifested in his people. Some time ago, I was sitting in my room in school. I was listening to a sermon, and Pastor Bill, he was preaching. And he preached, and I listened, and I watched him, and until the end of this, his sermon, and the message just touched my heart. And so I said, how can I get hold of him? And I somehow get hold. I remember him coming here once when I just came to Hawaii. And he gave me his email address. So I quickly emailed him and I asked, Pastor, your message really touched my heart. Can I share the message if God gives me an opportunity? And he says, sure, you can. And here I am standing this morning. I want to ask if you could please kneel with me as we come to God in prayer. I ask that may you ask God to speak to your own heart personally this morning as we study God's word. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm not worthy at all to stand in front here. But I thank you because, Father, you're always willing to use us, Father, and you want us to just come to you just as we are. And Father, this morning we ask that you speak to our hearts individually. We pray, we claim your spirit for your promise of the Holy Spirit. Fill us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 11. This is going to be our chapter for this morning. John chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 1 to verse 4. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sorry, just hold on a few seconds here. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The lesson that we can learn from this verse is that we are not to be victims of circumstances. The trials, the circumstances that happened, they are for the glory of God. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to verse 4, it reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Many times we put the great God of Isaac, the great God of Abraham, the God who created the universe, many times we put him in a small box of mats as though he can do nothing. But here the Bible is telling us that when we know that faith is tested, we are to look beyond and look up to Christ. Because when God is in control, nothing is happening by accident. John 11, verse 6, it says, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Jesus God, this message that his friend Lazarus was sick, yet he stayed 2 more days, telling us that in our Christian life, we are not to be overwhelmed by our service. Remember Martha when Jesus visited their house? Martha was very perplexed in preparing the meal while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you friends, but many times I am like Martha. In the book of Desire of Ages, it says, there is a wide field for the mothers. We are still in active religious work, but let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. In verse 7 it says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. After 2 days, finally Jesus then to his disciples and he says, let's go back to Judea. Verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? In other words, the disciples look at him and said, Master, have you forgotten that the people there that just wanted to stone you? You want to go back there again? I don't know about you, but I think if I were with Jesus during the time, that would be exactly my response. I would question my Savior. Did you forget what had just happened and you want us to go there again? Here, Christ himself, he has to hear all this from his own disciples. The disciples could see nothing, but they can only see the danger in the cause in which their Savior is about to pursue. This is a phase of fear and doubt. How many times we are like the disciples? We have the fear of being persecuted for doing God's work. Did our Savior forget about Lazarus? No. Jesus says, by beholding in Christ Jesus, we become changed. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he shall not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles and falls, because the light is not in him. Jesus is saying that as long as I am there, I am under the guidance of my Father, as long as I do his will, my life is safe. My 12 hours of day are not yet ended. See, friends, the spirit of fear is not the spirit of faith. Here the disciples are moved with fear, and Jesus is saying to them that if the light is in you, if Jesus is in your heart, if Jesus lives in you, then you have nothing to fear. He who does the will of God, who walks in the path that God has marked out, cannot stumble and fall. The light of God's guiding spirit gives him a clear perception of his duty and leads him aright till the close of his walk. What a great promise for you and me. Verse 14 and 15, then Jesus said to his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. For your sakes, to the intent that you may believe. To all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when the divine help is nearest. They will look back with thankfulness upon the darkest part of their day, of their way. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly from every temptation and every trial. He will bring them forth with firmer faith and a richer experience. In verse 17, it continues, so Jesus, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort concerning their brother. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Martha here is a Seventh-day Adventist. She knows her scriptures. And she says that, Lord, even though I know now that whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Now Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha was quoting the scripture in 1 Thessalonians. She knew about the resurrection morning, and she was kind of telling Jesus, she was kind of giving Jesus a Bible study just after Jesus told her that her brother is going to rise again. A question that comes to us today is, do we have this intimate relationship with Christ? At times, we laugh at other Christians. We say that we have the truths, the doctrines. But do we know the light, which is Jesus Christ? Are we hanging onto the truths? Are we hanging, onto the doctrines that we know of? Or are we hanging onto Christ, Jesus Christ? Jesus says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus, in other words, was saying to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, the one that you are trying to tell me about, the one that you are speaking about. I am right here. I am standing right in front of you. Now Martha replied and said to her, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Many of us believe that Christ Jesus is the Christ that the Bible talks about, but how many of us believe in Jesus? Jesus said, take away the stone. Then Martha again, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stink, for he has been dead 4 days. Martha again, as soon as Jesus said, take away the stone, now she came, Lord, Rabbi, my brother has been dead 4 days. You don't understand. There is a stink. Jesus not only has to deal with his disciples, now he must deal with Martha. When the Lord is about to do a work, Satan moves upon someone to object. Take you ye away the stone, Christ said. As far as possible, prepare the way for my work. But Martha's positive and ambiguous nature asserted itself. She was unwilling that the decomposing body should be brought to view. The human heart is slow to understand Christ's words. Take ye away the stone. Christ could have commanded the stone to remove, and it would have obeyed his voice. He could have bidden the angels who were close by his side to do this, and at his bidding, invisible hands would have removed the stone. But it was to be taken away by human hands. Thus, Christ would show that humanity is to cooperate with divinity. What human power can do, divine power is not someone to do. God does not dispense with man's aid. He strengthens him, cooperating with him as he uses the powers and capabilities given him. Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? How many of us believers, followers of Christ, we continue to give Jesus a hard time, even though we read his promises and we understand, we say that we believe, yet Jesus must say to us, continue to say to us, Alex or church, did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you will see the glory of God? The time to believe is now. Why wait? Why are you doubting? Many of us, we like to wait. We hear God speaking to us, but yet in our response we say, yes, Lord, but please wait. Wait a little bit longer. Wait for one more year, or wait till I finish my studies, or wait till I finish building my house. Wait, wait, wait. But Jesus is saying to us that the time to believe is not tomorrow. The time to believe is not next month. The time to believe is not in a few years' time. The time to believe is now. Today is the day of salvation. How is your faith, God's children, this morning? In verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary is an example of you and I, believers, of what we are to be doing today. We are to be praying for our brothers and sisters whom we see that they are spiritually dead. We are to be praying for our leaders. We are to be praying for the church. The class who do not feel grief over their own spiritual cleansing, nor mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of God. Our neglect to sigh and cry for the abomination in the church would mean our eternal loss. We dare not allow anything to divert our attention from this great and glorious work for the saints. This work must engross the whole mind, the whole attention. This is a very serious message. The prophets, they have to cry, they have to sigh for the sins of the people, for the sins of God's nation. And today we are the chosen generation, we are God's royal priesthood. There is no difference, we have the same responsibility. We have to cry, we have to pray, we have to intercede for others. We have to intercede for our church leaders. In verse 34, 33, therefore when Jesus saw her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 34, and he said, where have you laid him? 35, Jesus wept. When Jesus came, and when he saw Mary weeping, and the rest also weeping, he groaned. This is an expression of pain. Before I go to that, I would like to read a quotation from Desire of Ages. It says, it was not only because of the sin before him that Christ wept. The weight of the grief of ages was upon him. He saw the terrible effects of the transgression of God's law. He saw that in the history of the world, beginning with the death of Abel, the conflict between good and evil has been unceasing. Looking down the ages to come, he saw the suffering, sorrow, tears, and death that were to be the Lord of man. His heart was pierced with the pain of the human family of all ages in all lands. The woes of sinful race was heavy upon his soul, and the fountain of his tears was broken up as he longed to relieve their distress. The one who has the power to resurrect, to give life, he was troubled when he sees Mary crying in front of him. And not only that, as he was in pain, as he has this trouble, he looks ahead and right up to our time today, and he sees what we're going to be facing. Christ weeps and is in pain and is in great sorrow. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also keep this man from dying? God's people, are you questioning the power of your Creator this morning? Verse 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Again, Jesus groans more. God's family this morning, Christ is telling us today that he weeps and is crying. Whatever circumstances you're going in, please know that Christ also weeps along with you. He never leaves you. He sees everything that you are going through. Yet, in the midst of his sorrow, pain, and uncertainty, he has full confidence that in these difficult circumstances, God will be glorified. In verse 41, it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" This is a prayer of thanksgiving. In the midst of this great pain, emotions, yet Christ has confidence in the Father. He has great confidence in the authority of his Father, that in whatever circumstances that he is right in, God's name will be glorified. Now, when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." You see, friends, Christ must call Lazarus by name. He knew exactly who he was calling, so that only Lazarus could come forth. If Christ did not call Lazarus by name, all the dead would have been resurrected, because he has the power to resurrect life. How is your faith this morning, friends? Has your faith been strengthened yet? Verse 44, "And when he had died, and when he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to him, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Loose him and let him go. Jesus commanded the people to take away the grave cloth of Lazarus so that Lazarus could be set free. Oh, friends, today Christ is calling to you and I. He wants us to come forth. As we sing this last hymn, I would like to make an appeal, very simple appeal, that if you feel that Christ is calling you to come forth, that you're going to come forth as we sing our last hymn. Do you have grave cloth today or for years that has been binding you, that makes you feel like, even though you have this passion of doing God's work, but you feel like something always pulls you back, that you feel like you're always stuck in this grave? Jesus is calling you today to come forth, to cast out the fears, the doubts, all the grave cloth. He wants to give you a newness of life. Christ wants to give you and I, he wants to set you and I free. You may be facing difficult circumstances in life, and even though you and I may not understand the reason why we are going through all this, Jesus is saying that everything is done for God's glory. And when he is in control, nothing is happening by accident. You may be fighting the battle of fear. Jesus says, when he is with you, who can be against you, friends? You may be hearing God's Spirit convicting you of something, maybe to be a servant or workman of God, and you have been delaying. Jesus says, now is the time. Maybe you feel that you are unworthy. Christ says, "I have come, I have died at your place. All the judgment, the sin that is against you, I took them all. You are a free child of mine. Come forth, my child. Don't let Satan, don't let the devil keep you bonded with all this grave cloth." Question is, will you respond? Will I respond? Are we willing to come forth, to cast off the grave cloth and come to Jesus, us free, claiming in the power of Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us all stand as we sing our last hymn.